I want to start out reading a verse of scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 24. It says, He is the God who made the world and everything in it. And since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything, and He satisfies every need. That's a good verse right there, amen? And He satisfies every need. For from one man He created all the nations throughout the whole earth, and He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and He determined their boundaries. And His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live, we move, and exist. Let's pray. Jesus, today we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it is alive and that it speaks to our heart and it builds our faith. And I pray for every person in this place today that as we hear this word that is being spoken, I pray, Father, that it will be life-giving, and I pray that it will be life-changing. So, Holy Spirit, I ask for Your help as I share this message with everyone. I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive it. So, Lord, every distraction in our mind, every worry that is lingering, Father, I just pray that it will be removed so that we can experience the power of Your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This verse of scripture that I read to you this morning is actually a portion of scripture from a sermon that Paul preached at a place called Mars Hill. And this is a place in Athens, not Athens, Georgia, for those Bulldogs fans. But in Athens, it's up in Greece, where many of the philosophers would spend their time debating about life. They would debate about politics and philosophy and religion and all these different things. And he was very troubled. Paul, whenever he was in Athens, he was very troubled because everywhere he went, he would see these different altars that were set up for these different gods. And being a man who was coming to preach the gospel, he was greatly disturbed to see that there were so many idols and there were so many forms of worship in this particular culture. And that kind of connects with where we are today, because in our culture, there's many belief systems and there's many idols that are being worshipped. And sure, it may not be a statue, but that doesn't mean that a person isn't worshiping an object, isn't worshiping an activity, or isn't worshiping some form of thing that has control over their life. And so if you can remember back from your history days, your world history days, you would be reminded that the Greeks were very mythological, and they had all of these gods that they believed in, the Zeus god, and they had the god of the sea, and the god of the sun, and the god of the stars. They had all these different gods, and they were just cool with having all of them. And as Paul was walking through this city, he noticed that there was this one altar that was set up, and it says, to the unknown God. And it was as though Paul saw this as his opportunity to say a little something. He saw a door that opened because evidently they knew that there was a higher power that existed that was almighty. They just didn't know who he was. And so Paul just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And so he decided to start sharing. Well, some of the philosophers and some of the different people there were very intrigued with what he was saying. In fact, they felt even a little threatened. So they decided, hey, let's invite Paul to the city council. And at the city council, he can begin to share some things. Now, to some of you, it may look like Paul is in trouble, but you have to understand that Paul was a very strategic man. In fact, some of the prison sentences that he had gotten, it was purposeful. He wanted to go to prison because he knew if it got to prison, it would bring him in front of very influential and important people so that he could preach the known gospel. I don't know what you're going through to share Jesus, but Paul was willing to go through prison. Elbow your neighbor, say, I ain't going. I ain't going. And so here's Paul, once again, using his strategy, and now he stands before very important men, and they want to hear what he has to say. And he begins to tell them that God, this unknown God that you're looking at, that you're worshiping, you don't even know who he is, and you're worshiping him along with the others. He is the creator. He is the almighty God. He is the one that in whom we live, we move, we have our being. And even as sophisticated as these people were with all of their gods, really what they were doing, listen, they were searching for meaning in life. their philosophies, their education, all of it. They were trying to find meaning. They were trying to find the why of their life. And they thought that if they could just reason it out, that they would discover their purpose. And they couldn't, because it was just too much to keep up with. But God sent a man named Paul who began to preach truth and began to preach the gospel. And he began to share with them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, as you look at this scripture and you look at the culture of that time, you see some parallels, because they were loaded with information. They had many philosophies. They had many opinions. They were great at debating. Sounds like our world, am I right? We even have Facebook. I mean, come on, they didn't have that. I mean, we got to step ahead of them. But still, even with all of these great things, these great tools and resources, why is it that we're still struggling to find purpose? Why is it that a young person who is graduating from high school cannot even figure out which way to go? Why is it that a person who is graduating from college, that it's spent maybe 4 to 5 years in a particular area of focus, come out of that program and still question, is this the direction that I want to go? Why is it that a 40-year-old man that has worked that job for so long and has really made a pretty good living, it's still wrestling with what he's supposed to do with his life? And am I in the right place? Am I doing the right things? It's just the search for why. It's the search for purpose. And maybe today you find yourself in that place. Maybe you're searching for something. Yeah, you got a job. Yes, you have a family. But there's a piece. There's a piece of you that is missing. And you're trying this and you're reading that and you're listening to them and you're asking them and you're just trying to find the why. Trying to find, why am I here? What is my purpose? One of the most common things I'm asked about, people always want to, they ask me, they're like, Pastor, what is God's will? Like, what is God's will for my life? Any of you ever wondered that? Like, I've had some of you even, I'm just trying to find God's will for my life. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to figure out which direction and how to do this. And we're searching for God's will. We're trying to figure out our purpose. And through the years, I have heard some of the most interesting, some of the most intriguing, and some of the most confusing answers to those questions I have ever heard. Some of you may have heard these before. I've heard people talk about there is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. Anybody ever heard that before? Like there is this one specific thing that God would let you do, but if you don't reach it, if you do like this other thing, God may permit it. And it's really confusing, because how do you know which is which? I don't know. How do you know if this is the direction we're supposed to? I don't know. I guess it's perfect. I guess it's permissive. It's all working out. I guess it's perfect. And then one bad thing happens. Well, we must be in the permissive. It's too confusing. And then I've heard people say that you can discover the will of God by looking at your abilities and looking at your gifts and your talented. What if you're just not that talented? What do you do? I mean, seriously, what do you do if you're just, I don't know, you're just not that good? Does that mean that God doesn't have a will for your life? And so once again, it creates confusion. And then there's the other person who is ultra talented, that is chasing all their abilities and chasing all their gifts, and they're trying to do it. And then they sit down and they wonder, what in the world am I doing? Like, all of that is fun, but like, when do we actually do something that has some meaning? Come on now. Then I've heard the people who said, you can just do whatever you want to do, because Romans 8 says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. I sound like a country preacher right now, but let me roll with it. And I just want to say, that is not wisdom. Seriously, it's like, just let's just throw it out there and see what's going to happen. That's not wisdom. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to help us to land this plane a little bit, because I think we may be looking at this thing all wrong. Amen? We might be looking at some things all wrong. And when we look at what Paul was saying to them, he says something like this, that God doesn't live in man-made temples. In other words, God isn't living in what we're making, in what we're building. He's not into our accomplishments. He's into us. Can I get a better amen than that? See, because if that's the case, then you're always going to have to earn God. And that's not the way God set this thing up. God freely gives. Amen? Freely gives. Elbow your neighbor and say, he freely gives. Help me preach it now. Some of y'all don't want to preach today. Other neighbor needs to throw the bow on you. You can't find your purpose in your accomplishments. And many people are trying to find it there. They believe if they do something significant enough that it would solidify the meaning of their life, but yet it still finds them in a place where they are searching, because we live in a culture of comparison. Because what if one person is ultra talented and has like these skills and they have these abilities that is able to affect a lot of people, but then there's this other person who might just be a mom? And because of the competitive nature of our culture, we would lean towards defining accomplishment based off of what this ultra-talented person would do, and we would overlook the touch of a mom who could silence a crying baby. Can I hear an amen right there? We would overlook it because we're so caught up in what we are able to do. And so we spend our lives trying to find more things that we can do, because if we do enough, we may find it. And we don't know what it is, but we're going to keep working hard enough. And perhaps if we did accomplish a lot, we would find it. Purpose, meaning, whatever that is. I don't know, but I know if I keep working, I'm going to find it. That's what we feel like. And I feel like we're wearing ourselves out. And when it comes to doing meaningful things, we don't have the energy to do it anymore. We're burnt out because we've been doing a whole lot. You ever took a vacation before and came back from vacation, you were still tired? Now, I'm not talking about Disney. That doesn't count. That's not a vacation. That's a trip with an itinerary. I'm talking about a real trip where you go and do nothing. And then you come home and you're just as tired as you were before you went. You ever been on that trip before? Why is that? Because in our minds, even though our body is resting, our mind is still going. And we're searching. We're hunting. We're looking for something that's going to solidify the why in our lives. And it seems like we never can find it. But as Paul was speaking, he sums it up and he says, in him we live. In him we move. In him we find our existence. In him we find our reason of being. And perhaps we're looking in the wrong places. Perhaps we're looking through something man-made to find our purpose rather than looking to the one who made the man. We're looking in the wrong place. So we're in a place now where we have to make a decision. I believe every believer has a decision that they're going to make. We're either going to follow the ways of the world, which is the created, or we're going to trust in the wisdom of God, who is the creator. And it's a big decision to make, because all of us would say, of course, we're going to trust in the wisdom of God. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, we all know that. But in our everyday life, is that what our life is reflecting? See, most of the time our life is reflecting what the world is saying we need to do. So we're continually looking for meaning, continually looking for purpose and the why of our life in created things rather than looking to the creator, even though we know he's the creator and he sets this all in motion and he gives us our purpose. And why is that? Why is there this breakdown where we begin to make these decisions? And I believe the reason why is because we've seen some people make some decisions that brought them success. And because it brought them success, it's led us to believe that if we made those same decisions, then we would get what they got. Because they did it, it worked for them, so surely it must work for me. And if you ever watched a YouTube video on how to fix something, and you watched the guy fix it and it worked, so then you tried to do what he just did in the video, and it did not work. How many of you tried that before? How many of you almost threw your device because you were so angry at the person in the video who told you, this is like level 1 difficulty. And you just want to like punch the guy in the throat and repent later because dude, it is not level one. This is like level five. And I don't have those tools. And he just said, it's a quick and easy fix. You'll save all the money. Why call anyone when you could do it yourself? And you're like, But we just believe that if we do what someone else did, we'll get what they got. And we have followed that example for so long that without even knowing it, we have fallen into a place where now we're searching for the meaning of our lives in the things of the world rather than finding it in God, because we have seen people who have become successful. And listen, let me just say this. Just because you're successful doesn't mean that you're living life meaningful. Just because you're successful doesn't mean that you have it all together. You ever seen these athletes who are all-star, ultra-talented, and they win on the ball field, but they are not winning at home? You ever notice that? And we idolize them and everything, but we don't want to be like them at the house. And we think they're great because they scored a touchdown and help our team win, but we're telling our kids, do not be like them. There's something that's missing there. We have this insatiable appetite for success. I want you to write this down today. The decisions that we make today determines our destiny tomorrow. You've heard that before. But I want to say it like this. The decisions that you make today are the stories that you'll tell tomorrow. See, that changes the game. See, my kids are getting old enough now where they're asking questions. You know what I'm saying? What did you do when this happened, Dad? Well, which version do you want, son? Come on. And it begins to put you in a place where you realize, I wish I would have made some different decisions. Anybody ever been there before? I wish, got a little bit of regret maybe. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have maybe thought about that one a little bit more. Making decisions can be very, very stressful. And what happens because of the struggle, we wind up making no decision. Anybody ever been there? You got a decision to make, but it's so overwhelming because you're afraid I might make the wrong decision. And so I'm just going to hold up on it because I don't really know what to do. And in that place of not knowing what to do, we wind up doing nothing. And therefore, the decision is actually being made, even though we haven't fully made a decision. And we all have these decisions that we have made and have not made. Some people, you look back and you say, I wish I never would have dated that guy. I wish I never would have bought that car. I wish we never would have bought that house. I wish we never would have moved. And you can just go on and on down the list of all the things that we wish we never would have done. And I think about even like a younger generation, like our kids. They have so many options now. You ever notice that? Like they have every option under the sun. Ice cream choices galore. Back in the day, you had three choices. You remember that? Vanilla, chocolate, and then that pink ice cream that they said was strawberry. And then they call it Napoleon or Neapolitan, whatever it was. But those were the options. And sometimes when your mom would scoop it out, if you wanted vanilla, you got a little chocolate. Didn't mean for it to happen, but get over it, son. I mean, seriously. And now kids just have like every flavor of the rainbow with every kind of nut, every kind of fruit, gluten-free. You can add extra gluten if you want. I mean, it's just all kinds of options. And so you ask the kid, what do you want? And they're like, I don't know. And then they always have that kid that says, they don't have the kind that I like. There's like 500 flavors. And they're melting down because they don't have that one flavor. And some of you as adults, you do it too. And we're just panicking over decisions. And we're freaking out because it's too hard to decide because we have so many options. And we don't know what to choose, so we just kind of freeze up. What do we do? Because you got a lot of options. Every one of us in here, we have a lot of options. Right now, where you're at in your life, trust me, you feel like you don't have options. If you got creative enough and sat down with a pen, you can come up with some options. Doesn't mean that they're all worth taking, but that doesn't mean that you don't have an option. And the question isn't, what options do you have? The question is, what decision are you going to make? Because those decisions become the story of your life. And I begin to think, what's going to be the story of my life? What is going to be written about me? What is going to be the story that my children read? What is going to be the story that my grandkids read about me? What is going to be the story that people around me are reading about my life? What is going to be the story that your children will read about you? What is going to be the story that your family is going to see being written in your life? And all of us can look back at our lives and we see some highlights and we see some lowlights. We see some things that is like, erase that whole chapter out of my life. That is not even worth being in the book. But we all know it's in there. It's in there. It's our story. And thank God that he's a God of, he can redeem, amen? Thank God he's the God of redemption. You ever tried to make a perfect decision? Not just a decision, a perfect decision. Remember I mentioned earlier, there's this perfect will of God, and then there's the permissive will of God. I can remember earlier in my life, you know, doing the whole, when I was dating, and, you know, you just have this whole thought that God's got this perfect person for you. And if you're single right now, can I just tell you, God does not have a perfect person for you, because there ain't no perfect people. Let's just go ahead and pop that bubble right there. Amen. They all messed up. You too. I'm sorry. Some people are getting offended with that. Listen, we know. Think about people who are in that decision right now. Should I keep dating this person? Or should I break up with them? Should we get engaged? Or that person that should I take the new job or should I stay? Should we put the kids in public school or private school? Or should we bring them to the house and homeschool them? Should we buy that new car or keep the old one? Come on, these are real decisions. Should we buy a house or should we just rent? You ever been in those decisions? How many of you ever had to pray, like during those times? You're praying, you just want God to be so perfectly clear. Like just to drop a sign right in front of you. Like a real sign. Like you're driving down the road and like just something drops in front of you. Buy the house. I can tell you, I've never had those signs. Ever. And I don't know if many people who ever had. I've never had an angelic visitation. I've never had any of it. And I don't know many people who have had the sign, the angel that has come to visit them. But we're still in a place to make a decision. And what's interesting in the Bible is that God doesn't specifically say things about our future. Like, he doesn't tell you specifically what exactly you're supposed to do and who exactly you're supposed to marry. And I just wish he would. Am I right? Like, God, why don't you just tell us? I have literally prayed this before. God, you know that you're sovereign and you can do anything. Why don't you just, like, straight up tell us exactly what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do? I would stick to it, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't tell you specifically things about your future, but he says a lot about today. He's not sitting there telling you which direction to go here and all of that stuff, but he is saying a whole lot about today. And I want to take a few moments to talk about not what's so important to us, but what is important to God. When it comes to our lives, when it comes to our purpose, what is important to God? First thing, God, what does God care about? Let's think about this. What does God care about whenever it comes to you and I, and it comes to the meaning and the purpose of our lives? Here's the first thing. God cares about the who before the do. He cares about who you are more than he's worried about what you're doing. Now, some of you, you're freaking out right there because you're like, Pastor Wade, what if people are doing like really, really bad stuff? You can't say that God doesn't care about that. You're missing the point of it. God cares about who we are becoming. What you do is going to affect who you are. Amen? But he's worried about who more than he's worried about the do. Now, you and I, we're more worried about what we need to do. And I've heard so many people ask this question, just tell me, Pastor, just, I don't know what to do. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. It's not that you're helpless. Just, I don't know what to tell you in this situation. But I can tell you this, who you are in this situation is just as important as what you do in this situation. And that's the part we forget. Because no matter what you do, remember this, God always sees who you are. When you look through the Old Testament, you see these characters that made it into the Bible who did some really, really ridiculous things. But because these men and women believed God and trusted him, God saw who they were. And what does the Bible say? He accounted it unto them what? Righteousness. Even though they were doing some shady things, he saw their heart. It wasn't just intentions, y'all. It was living with a purpose and living with meaning. God is more concerned with who you were becoming than what you were doing. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, watch this. God's will is for you to be holy. See, this is where it really starts to get heavy. Because now there's an understanding that it's not just what I'm going to do, it's who God wants me to be. God wants you, let me say it like this to you. God wants you to be good. God wants you to be incredible. God wants you to be forgiven. God wants you to be pure. God wants you to be innocent. Are you grabbing this today? That's his will for your life. So when you hear that word holy, don't let it overwhelm you to believe, oh no, I'm not holy. I better hurry up and get some things straight because God might strike me down because I am not holy. Listen, what you do ain't going to get you holy. It's who you know that's going to get you holy. Come on, let's go ahead and fight through some of this religious junk real quick here this morning. You can't do enough in and of yourself to become holy. We need some help. Elbow your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you. You need some help. So what did God do? He decided to help us out when we couldn't do it on our own. So he sent a man whose name was Jesus, who was tempted in every way possible and yet did not sin. And because he did not sin, he became the perfect sacrifice that would cover all of our sins. And he goes to the cross and an innocent man dies a horrific death for the sins of all of us who was, who is, and is to come, so that we can find redemption, we can find forgiveness, and we can walk in holiness because we cannot get close to a holy God with sin in our lives. But because of the blood of Jesus, we are washed white as snow and we are made clean, and now we can stand before God and it is accounted to us righteousness because we have believed in the one that God sent to pay for all of our sins. Amen. And it is God's will that you and I would repent and come to him. It's God's will that we would be forgiven. It's God's will that we would be clean and holy and pure in his sight. Can somebody say amen? If you're in here today and you're struggling, trying to figure out, can God forgive me? Will God forgive me? It is God's will that you are forgiven. It is God's will that you are made right with God. There is no doubt about it. It is God's will for your life to be forgiven. Can I hear an amen in this place? It's God's will. Now, this word holy, it means set apart. It means different from the world. Let me put it in easy terms. God wants you and I to become like Christ. He wants us to be like Jesus. The Bible never talks about his will for your career, but it does talk about his calling for us to be like Christ. Where's your pursuit? What are we pursuing? Success or Jesus? You say, but Pastor, I want to be successful. You can be successful. Just don't get him out of order. Put him first, amen? Begin to think about this. Maybe you might wonder some things sometimes. Is it God's will that I am a pastor? Some of you are like, hold up there, preacher. Just follow me. Like, is that like the perfect will of God, or is that the permissive will of God? Some of you might have like, oh, well, you wonder too. But I think of it like this. What is primary and what is secondary? More than being a pastor, it's God's will that I live a holy life. See, to be a pastor and do what I do, I need to live faithfully for Jesus, because that's who I'm called to be. And for me to do what I do, I have to become it first. Are you following this today? And a lot of people want to skip that part and just go do, because we're really good at accomplishing things. And watch this, accomplishment really brings us a little bit of notoriety. Are you following this? But holiness in our lives will always bring God glory. We have to choose what we're going for. What are you going for? You know, I could be the best preacher in this city, but what if I'm at home abusing my wife? Think about that. You don't want to hear a word I have to say. Am I right? I could be this charismatic leader who is just over the top, but what if I'm not paying my bills? Like, think of that. I'm not in God's will. Even if I'm doing something for God, if I'm not handling my business, I'm not in God's will. And too many people are trying to find God's will in a thing instead of finding it in who they are. And that's why they're always jumping from thing to thing to thing. Amen? Amen. So wherever you're at in these decisions, if you're trying to figure out, should I marry this person or wait a little longer, be faithful to God. Amen? If you're trying to figure out what you're going to major in school, some of you guys have graduated and you're trying to take that next step to college. Should I go be business or should I do pre-med? Whatever you decide, be faithful to God. Amen? In the big decisions of your life, whatever you do, be faithful to God. And if the decision causes you to no longer be faithful to God, then you know it's not God's will. Can I hear an amen? Come on. I'm preaching better than y'all are listening today. So let me say it like this. If you're becoming the right who, you will choose the right do. Who you are precedes what you do. And when we get it backwards, that's where things begin to break down. Maybe today you're already starting to think, man, I got to adjust some things because I got caught up in the do and I forgot about the who. So I need to shift my focus to be the person that God wants me to be. And if I'm becoming who God wants me to be, all the things that I'm supposed to do is going to flow right out of that. Amen? Here's the second thing. God is concerned not just about the who before the do, but he's concerned about the why before the what. The why before the what. In other words, motives matter to God. The motives matter to God. Proverbs 16:2 says, you may think everything you do is right, but the Lord judges your motives. You might think that everything, you're on the right track, but the Lord judges the why. Why are you doing what you're doing? And I have found this, that we do things basically for two reasons. The first thing, the reason why we do it is just because it sounds good. That sounds great. Let's go for it. And then another reason why we do what we do is because it's what we're supposed to do. And we know that. Those are the two reasons why. And Jesus even warned, listen, he warned these guys, these really religious guys. He warned them. He said, listen, if you're practicing these acts of righteousness in order to be seen by people, you lose your reward. You lose it. In front of people, they may recognize you and say, hey, great job, but you lose your reward in heaven because your motives were wrong. And so today, let's look at our motives. Why am I doing what I am doing? Even in the things of God that you might do, why are you doing it? Are you doing it to silence maybe somebody else in your life? Are you doing it just so that the wife will leave you alone? Come on now. Are you doing it because we don't need those answers? That's marriage counseling. Come on now. Are you doing it because it's for the kids? Hey, great sentiment there. We want to take care of the kids. But at the end of the day, the reason that you got yourself in church today isn't so they can go down there and learn about the creation that God put on this planet. It's so that you can have a relationship with God. Amen? So many times our motives are all over the place. God knows what's up. And just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. Amen? The why before The what? This is why we have to search our heart. Why do I do what I do? Is it to be noticed by people, or is it to be faithful to God? Because when you're struggling, listen to me, when you're struggling, and when you feel like everything in the world is coming against you, and you feel like nobody is watching, nobody knows, what will be your motivation then? When no one is patting you on the back, telling you the good job, and I'm proud of you, what is going to be the motivation then? When your kids have grown up and moved out the house, you went to church your whole life for the kids. Does that mean now we don't have to go anymore? Because we took care of everything with the kids? They still need you to be a godly mom and dad. Amen? What is going to be the motive? Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You can't serve them and serve him. It's hard to bow down to them and bow down to him too. And so many times we're caught in the middle. See, you won't get to the right place if you start with the wrong motives. You won't do the right what if you're driven by the wrong why. Think of this decision. Should I buy that new car? Why? Well, I need transportation. Amen? Or am I just trying to make a statement that perhaps I can't afford? Should I post this photo? Why? Is it going to honor God? Or is it going to draw attention to myself? Should I buy flowers for the wife? Why? Because you love her? Or are you trying to make something else go away? Or are you trying to start something for later on? I mean, y'all won't be a real church or not. Buy your wife flowers, amen? Come on, ladies, y'all got to do better than that. Taking them to eat, too. See, we get caught in this trap. We get caught in this trap of I want to impress you because I want you to like me. I want you to validate me. I want you to envy me. I want you to give me something that's going to make me feel better about me. And it's a trap that we're in. And this is where there's an indicator of a search for purpose, because if we truly understand God's purpose for our life, then we're not looking for someone to like me because we have someone that loves me. Amen? And we're not looking for someone to validate me because we have a Father who will affirm me. Are you grabbing this today? And I'm not looking for someone to envy me, but what am I trying to do? I'm just trying to help other people find the one who found me. See, there's a purpose to it. And I'm afraid that we have gotten on this cycle and we're just running and we're trying to make things happen and we're trying to be successful, but we're not getting anywhere. And so we get some more motivation and we run harder, or we find another wheel to jump on and we run faster and we're running harder, but we're not getting anywhere. And it's agitating us. It's frustrating us. And it's making us question things, and it's making us doubt things, because we're just trying to find, just tell me what to do, I will do it, and everything is going to be grand. And God's like, I just want you to be my son. Can't even figure out who you are anymore. I just want you to be my daughter. Come on. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever you do, wherever you are in that place, serve God there. I'm sure if we sat down and interviewed every person in here, you're in so many different places. But wherever you are, I'm going to serve you right there, Lord. If you're in a place of struggle right now, just say, God, I'm going to serve you right here. I don't understand what's happening. I don't even know what to do, but I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to serve you even in the middle of this madness. Maybe you're having some financial difficulties and you're losing your mind because we need to do that and we need to do this and you need to stop spending and you need to put that card up and we're going round and round and around with all these things. We got to get back to God. I got to be faithful to you right now because we're falling apart. Who are you becoming? In the middle of your struggles, let me ask you this, who are you becoming? In the middle of your successes, who are you becoming? Are you losing Jesus but gaining the world? Are you gaining possessions but losing Him? Are you gaining opportunities and losing Him? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose your soul? God's will is a who before a do and a why before a what. See, pleasing God, it isn't just a few big decisions, but it's countless daily decisions over and over of dying to self and choosing to follow Jesus. I know people in this room today who are wrestling with decisions and you're searching for clarity. And the clarity that you're looking for is not going to come from something that needs to be done, but it's going to be found in who you're supposed to be. Ask yourself, are you being faithful to God? Are you trusting? So let's sum this up. If you're becoming the right who, God will help you choose the right do. And if you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. So let's capitalize this and read this scripture in Psalms 37. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him. He will help you. All the stuff that we're focused on, stuff that God can do, let's focus on who we need to be. God, I want to be faithful. Begin to filter your decisions through, am I going to be faithful to God or is this going to pull me away from Him? Seriously. If you're going to buy that house, ask yourself, if I buy this house, is it going to allow me to continue to be faithful to God or is it going to pull me away and take my focus away from the Lord and put it on other things? Come on. You say, Pastor, it's just a house. Listen, a house can swallow you up. With a job, it's the same thing. With your family, listen, we've got to position our families to be faithful to God. Are we doing it? Are we focused on what we're doing as a family or who we are becoming? Because the day may come where you look at all the things you've done and recognize your family and say, my God, what have we become? Let's get back to purpose. Let's get back to the real meaning, being faithful to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I have the feeling that there are some people in here today who understand that they're at a place of decision. And the decision is, am I going to do this my way or am I going to do this God's way? It's amazing that God gives us that choice. He gives us that free will to make a decision. And my encouragement to all of us is to choose to live your life God's way. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I've been living my life my way. And perhaps along the way, you've been just asking God to kind of help you out. But you're realizing today that you need God to be more than just a help. You need Him to be Lord. Because as you look at the sum of your decisions and how it's adding up, it's not equaling what you thought it was going to be. And today, it brings you to the point of making a new decision that will forever affect the story of your life. Today, would you make the decision to make Jesus your Savior? Today, would you make the decision to let Him be the Lord of your life and choose to follow His ways rather than your ways? If you're away from God today, it's okay, because God is drawing you in. He wants you to be close. He wants to forgive you. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. He wants to be your friend. Will you choose Him today? He is choosing you. If you say, "Pastor, I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I'm away from God, but today I want Him to be my Lord. I want to surrender my life to Him." Would anyone this morning say, "Pastor, pray for me"? Just slip a hand up real quick, and then you could slip it right back down. No one will recognize. We want to do this in the honorable way. Anyone else would say, "Pastor, this is for me today"? Anyone else? As we close, I want us all to pray this prayer together. This is a very powerful moment, because people across the room have lifted their hands saying, "Today, I'm making a decision. Not my will, but His be done in my life." Maybe you didn't raise that hand. It's okay. You could still pray with us. So let's all join together with those who raised their hands. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. All you have to do is just repeat it after me, but I want you to mean it with your heart. Make that decision as you speak it with your mouth. Come on, church, let's pray together with them. Say, "Dear Lord, I thank You for Your love for me, that no matter the decisions I've made, it's never changed Your mind about me. Thank You for always loving me. Thank You for being willing to forgive me. Today, I surrender to You, and I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to wash me clean and forgive me of the decisions that I've made that were against Your will. The decisions that I've made that were wrong. The sins that I've committed. Wash me and clean me and make me a new person. I choose this day to turn from the way that I've been living to follow Your ways. And I thank You that You give my life meaning. You give me purpose. And I commit to following You. In Jesus' name, amen."